Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. You can watch us on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area, because it works. You can visit EMP180.com and get empowered. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sauville, and Jason Bishop. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, entertainment reporter for Fox 5.
JP.
He's got a Oscars preview. Named his dog Oscar. It's Kevin McCarthy. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, John Paul Flame. How are you, sir?
How's your little dog Oscar doing?
He's doing good. Well, he was not happy last night. I was in L.A. yesterday for Captain Marvel, and I landed back at 2 in the morning, got home at 3 in the morning, went to bed at 3:30, woke up at 4:15, and got to work at 5 o'clock.
Pretty fun life.
Kevin, E.B. told me he can't wait to watch Brie Larson in Captain Marvel. He told me that during the break.
Sure.
Yeah, he's really been like texting me a lot. He really wants to go to the screening with me. He wants to see it like four times. Eric is like right in the wheelhouse.
Let me ask you a question. Shazam. He really wants to see that one too.
Yeah, I want to see both of those. Let me ask you a question. Somebody tweeted me yesterday,
JP.
And this can't be true. They said, check on Kevin McCarthy. He hasn't tweeted in 2 weeks.
Are you okay?
Is that true?
I'm fine. No. When it comes to Twitter, I don't know about you guys. I'm perfectly fine. I just found like I would be opening up Twitter and it's just it's so negative. There's just so much.
You're just onto that
negative. No, I know, but like I needed to step away from it for a little bit. It was hurting me psychologically. It was like, I don't know. There's something about
what you have to do is just use it for news gathering, and then if you want to tweet something occasionally to promote something, or maybe you might have an opinion on a movie, but you got to stay away from the back and forth with people.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just the news.
That's just life.
Not
everything's negative.
Plus, you still get all the tweets for Kevin McCarthy,
yes,
the congressman, right?
Yeah. Oh, all the time. And like it's funny. Like I'll get out of a movie sometimes, and I'll open up my phone, and I'll have 30 like horrific messages that are being sent to me. I'll pop over to the news feed and Kevin McCarthy said something in the news, and it's always in connection to something he's been saying. It's one of those things where you take a break from it from a little bit, you actually feel a little better. And it's funny because I don't know if your phones do this. My phone tells me every month, like how often I look at it. It's like a weekly or a monthly insights. And my insights have dropped. Like I've picked up my phone less, which is awesome.
Means you're living your life more.
But you got to find a balance, though. You can't just go black and white and just turn it off. You have to just find a balance. But it's more about just the news cycle and everything that's happening right now. And that Jussie Smollett story, just there's so many things. It's just horrible.
Had you heard of him before? You watched Empire, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that story, that is one of the craziest things. I don't know if you guys watched the press conference yesterday, but it was – I mean, when this thing broke, four weeks ago, I mean, there were people already questioning it. But wow, I mean, I could not imagine we would get to a point where that press conference yesterday would say the things it was saying. I was hoping he was telling the truth, because this is just, it's too much to go into, but it's a brutal story. It's terrible.
I know, like when you were with Fox 5 a couple years ago, you guys would break down each episode. Is it still a popular show, Empire?
It's not as popular as it used to be. I mean, it's like any show, right? Like it comes out, like Walking Dead comes out of the box, and everyone's like going crazy about it for the first couple seasons. Then generally a show dies out unless it's like a Breaking Bad or The Wire, shows that actually consistently keep great audiences. And Empire, it definitely doesn't feel as popular as it used to. I'm sure there are people watching it still. Obviously, the ratings are good for it. I just don't know that. It doesn't have that, you know, that American Idol was, you know, big for the first couple seasons, right? And then it dies off. Thing that just happens with any show,
certainly,
in my opinion.
All right, so I'm just looking at the Vegas odds here. I rarely bet on the Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. A couple of them intrigue me, but the overwhelming favorite for Best Picture is Roma. It's -375. The other nominees are Green Book, The Favorite, Star Is Born, which Eric saw, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, Black Panther, and Vice. Vice is a long shot. So Roma's -375.
What's Roma about in like 10 seconds?
No idea.
What's that one about?
I'm already waiting for Eric to go. I'm not watching this. It's 1970s Mexico City, black and white, subtitled, directed by Alfonso Cuarón, about a family and their maid. It's a masterpiece, but I know that description does not.
It's kind of about poverty, right?
Yeah, it's way bigger than what I just explained, but you said 10 seconds, so I just gave you...
And that's by far the favorite? It won all the awards leading up to it?
Well, no, that's why this is like a crazy... So I don't know if you guys have been following all the Oscars news and everything that's happening with this show. There's no... Well, you guys have heard...
We know there's no host.
We don't care about that.
Well, there's no host. The Academy Awards are trying to build their audience, build a bigger audience. So they, you know, a couple months ago, they floated out this idea that they were going to do a popular Oscar category, which was ridiculous because you're basically saying that, oh, you're going to give a movie an award for being popular, but you're saying it's not good enough to win Best Picture. So that went away. They've backtracked on a lot of the things they came out with. So the most recent thing they did, they said, we're going to take four categories out of the live broadcast, give them to the person during a commercial break, edit their speech down or edit whatever their thing is, and then re-air it in the broadcast later, which is the most ridiculous thing ever because the two of the categories, cinematography and editing, are two of the most important categories in regards to what a movie is and how a movie's made. So that got a lot of backlash from every big director and cinematographer in the business. The Academy reversed that. So we're going into a show on Sunday where no one knows what this show's going to look like. Now, the cool news is, all the performances. Queen's going to perform with Adam Lambert. Hopefully Rami Malek will get up there and do something with them.
I think they're going to open up the show.
That's what I'm hearing, and I think that would be perfect. And I was talking to a buddy of mine about this yesterday. I think what they should do is they should come out, because the Bohemian Rhapsody is the name of the movie that's up for the award. So you come out and you do a quick little piano bit, maybe with Adam or somebody doing Bohemian Rhapsody at the piano. Or you have Rami come out and play the piano and Adam sing or something like that, and then you jump into, like, We Will Rock You, like, end on a big, you know, like, rocking note. And then that gets the show energy and gets it going. And then Gaga and Cooper are going to perform, Bette Midler, Jennifer Hudson. So that stuff's interesting. But going back to what you were saying, Jason, about the picture, I don't know what's going to win. I honestly don't know what's going to win.
Oh, really?
And it's like, and
if you
that's
had a vote,
why,
if you had a vote, what would you vote for?
Well, I would vote
not what
for
you
stars.
Think is going to win.
I'd vote for Star Is Born.
Okay.
And guys, and this is so weird. I was talking to a buddy yesterday about this too. When I was in Toronto in September and I saw Star Is Born for the first time, I did the interviews, and there was no film that was going to beat Star Is Born. Star Is Born was the front runner for Best Picture. For some reason, over the next couple months, it just fizzled out. And it's now become the underdog, the complete opposite of exactly what everyone thought it was going to be as the film premiered. So
let me ask you, is it worth putting $25? Does it have a shot? Because if I put $25 on Star Is Born, it'll pay me $1,400 if it wins.
Then why wouldn't you do that?
Well, because there's a reason it's a big long shot.
Well, here's why. So it's interesting. Like my prediction is Roma. Only because of the number of award nominations it has, and it won the DGA. So here's where it gets, and I won't get too into the woods here, but this is very interesting how the awards,
There are weeds in woods. So.
So essentially what you do is when you're predicting the Academy Awards, you look at what won the guilds. So the guilds are like big deals, Producers Guild, Directors Guild, and then you have SAG and Golden Globes. Generally, you're seeing the same movie win in those awards. But this year, it's not the case. So the DGA, the Directors Guild, went to Roma. Producers Guild went to Green Book. SAG went to Black Panther. And Golden Globes went to Bohemian Rhapsody. So Star is Born has won nothing,
right.
Which is another reason why I think it could sneak in there. Remember, do you guys remember the year Argo won Best Picture?
I remember the picture. I don't remember the year.
So Affleck wasn't nominated for Best Director, which I would argue, and a lot of people would argue, the reason why Argo won Best Picture was because it didn't get nominated for Director, and it was like a sympathy vote. Even though Argo was great, I wouldn't call it Best Picture. So Star is Born, to answer your question, Jason, about like the betting, it could sneak in there. But I'll tell you right now, there are four other films that can win before it, and that's kind of why it's interesting. So right now, I'm going Roma, but Green Book could win because it won the Producers Guild, or Black Panther could win because it won the SAG Award. Bohemian Rhapsody could win because of the Golden Globe. But then there's two others that are like very, very probable of sneaking in, which are Black Klansman. The Black Klansman element comes in because Spike Lee, it's almost like a make good, because the Academy is always about trying to make up for not giving this person the award when it went for a certain film. So Scorsese, right? He didn't win for Casino or Goodfellas or whatever those big movies, Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, the movies he probably should have won for, been nominated for, but he won for The Departed, which is a great movie. You know, Denzel didn't win leading until Training Day, didn't win for Malcolm X. So you could argue that Spike Lee, you know, didn't get any award recognition for Do the Right Thing, and they might be making it good now.
All right, you're flaming. Yeah. We got to get to these other ones quick. So Best Director, Cuarón will definitely win, correct?
Yeah, that's what I want to say. So I like doing this with you. Let me tell you who I think is going to win, and you tell me if it's the favorite in Vegas.
Gotcha. All right, let's go to
Director. Alfonso Cuarón. That should be the number one.
He's the overwhelming favorite, minus 3,000. Go ahead. Best Actor.
No question.
Best actor.
Actor Rami Malek, no question. Is he the number one?
He is the favorite, minus 800, yep.
Can I guess who the number two is?
Sure.
Christian Bale?
Correct.
Number three, Bradley Cooper?
Correct.
Okay, cool.
Wow. Kevin knows his stuff.
Viggo's four and then Defoe's five. All right, best actress.
Okay, I'm going to guess your number one seed is Glenn Close for The Wife.
Overwhelming favorite, yes.
What's the minus on that?
800, minus 800.
Your second choice is probably Olivia Colman.
Correct.
Third choice is Lady Gaga.
Correct. And then it's
so Gaga's third choice?
And then it's the girl from Roma and then Melissa
McCarthy.
So let me guess,
you would give it to Gaga because you love Star is Born.
100%. Gaga deserves the award, but it goes back to what I was just saying when I was flaming, JP flaming.
Yeah.
By the way,
she doesn't have
who
the lifetime achievement stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know if you guys get new listeners every day. We say flaming because JP talks all the time.
Yeah.
And so do you.
Yeah, I know. So I know.
Guilty.
But Eric, what you just said, Glenn Close, exactly. That's it's a career award. She's been nominated before, never won
Doesn't
before.
Doesn't she get naked in that movie?
Ooh.
I think she
Glenn
does.
Glenn Close? No, I thought she did.
Or she has some sort of sex scene in the movie.
I think that's called
Fatal Attraction.
No, I think this is The Wife, correct?
That's the wife.
I saw it 8 months ago, though.
All right, let me see.
Hold on. All right, best supporting actor, overwhelming favorite is?
Supporting actor, overwhelming favorite is going to be Mahershala Ali.
Correct. He's correct. Minus 1,600.
I wonder who the number two is.
Chance I'm watching the Academy Awards over the final episode of True Detective.
Zero chance that would ever happen.
All right.
Hold on. Here's a headline. The Wife, Glenn Close, on unexpected sex scene
at the
start of The Wife.
Movie expert flakes.
I didn't question you.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It's been a long time
since I've seen it, though. Wait, supporting actor, I'm going to guess your number two, Jason. Is it Sam Elliott?
Richard Grant.
Ooh, is Elliot three?
Elliot's three, a plus 1,400, yeah.
God, she's
wow.
really old.
See, now that might be a good bet, Jason, because Elliot hasn't won before, and that could be he could sneak in and career that. I would go do the 25 on the Stars Born, and then supporting actress, I'm going to guess your number one seed is Regina King.
Correct. Not a huge favorite, but yes, she is the
favorite.
Which
movie is she in?
If Beale Street could talk.
Oh, okay. Not sure what that's about.
Is your number two seed? Is it Marina de Tavira?
No, it's pretty tight between Amy Adams and Rachel Weisz.
Really? Yeah. Where's Marina de Tavira? Is she like four or five?
She's the long shot. Yeah, five.
Wow. Oh, wow. I like doing this with Jason. We got to do this every year. I like the Vegas odds. It's interesting to hear.
All right. So I am going to put small money on a couple of these long shots. Yeah, you know, never know.
Have a grasper.
Starsborn could sneak in. Wait, you said $25. Mm-hmm. $25. You get how much money?
$1,400.
Well, I don't understand why they would do that because it's such a long shot.
Yes. Well, they're not stupid. I'm guessing Starsborn's not going to win.
But that's a gigantic game. I mean, wow.
Well, you should play some wagers, Kevin.
Do you think Roma is the overwhelming favorite?
But here's the thing. So Roma's a Netflix movie, Eric. So there's a lot of talk in the industry behind the scenes of
they don't want to reward that. Yeah.
Right. And I think but the thing is, it already got nominated for 10 Oscars. So the people who nominated it are also the people who are voting on it. So they clearly don't have an issue.
It's going to win something.
That.
Yeah.
It's going to win director, cinematographer, everything. But if that wins, I mean, guys, if you think about it, rewind 10 years ago, five years ago. Remember Netflix with the DVD mailing? Like, imagine saying Netflix is going to win a Best Picture with an original film. Like, it's crazy where we are right now.
Amazon was selling books. Things changed. All right, we got to run.
All right, see you, man.
I know we got to go, Jason. Lorena Bobbitt documentary. I watched it. Really good. If you get a chance, it's on the Amazon Prime Video. It's four-part series, like the Ted Bundy one, and Jordan Peele
what
produced
it. What's she doing now?
I heard it's good. Lorena Bobbitt, by the way, former Junkies guest.
Yeah, that's right. She's local. Mm-hmm. I think she's still listening to the show.
I think she's in Haymarket.
She do now for a living? Anything?
She's right, tease it up at RTJ.
I don't know what she does, but do you guys know that John Bobbitt still reaches out to her like on Facebook like once a year or something like that? It's pretty wild, man. It's so weird.
Yeah. Someone else told me about that documentary.
All right, Kevin, got to run. That's Kevin McCarthy,
our movie reviewer.
Remember, Merrill Hodge joins us coming up at 7:40. We'll get in the NFL with him. John Feinstein at 8. And Mark Turgeon, head coach of the Terps, coming up at 8:40 on The Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, I want to remind people, coming up in less than 2 weeks, we're going to be in Florida covering the Nationals. We're heading down to West Palm Beach, spring training, March 4th and 5th. That's where we're doing our shows. Mm-hmm. Need to thank the Hilton West Palm Beach for hooking us up. Unbelievable spot. We were there last year. Grant and Danny are there right now.
They are.
And they were raving about it, especially by comparison to where they stayed last year, which was a dump.
Well, they literally stayed like a chalk outline motel.
Yes.
And it's one of the seediest spots ever.
But we're at the Hilton West Palm Beach, flagship lifestyle hotel. Global mentality complements the destination's caliber of travelers, including the Junkies.
Yes, we're very
Grant
fancy.
Danny had interviews with a bunch of guys yesterday. So
I know they had Davey.
There's still some guys that'll want to do interviews with us.
I heard them rattling off the names. It was Davey. It was Dozier. Strasburg, Scherzer, and there's one other.
Corbin, I believe.
Patrick Corbin?
Yeah.
I want to get Dozier on.
I heard Dozier with the guys yesterday. He was great.
Yeah, he's good. He's just a real down-to-earth funny guy.
Nice guy. Yeah. Yep. Apparently he's like a health nut. Doesn't eat anything terrible.
Looks like it. I mean, he's in shape.
Grant was talking about how handsome he was.
He's marveling at his body.
Yeah. You rarely hear Grant like that.
He's fawning.
Grant was
fawning. There's a couple guys that I don't need to get on anymore.
I know who you're talking about.
A bunch for me.
Yeah.
By the way, a lot of people have been tweeting us. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. Two things. What's the show, which Jason is talking about, which he is.
I'm not going to get into that.
I'll have a beer with you and tell you sometime.
Perverse pleasure to watch, even though he thinks it's terrible. Yeah. And then a lot of people were tweeting, where do you bet on the Academy Awards?
Oh.
And Jason's site is BetUs or BetUS, however you want to.
BetUs.com or
BetUs.pay. I always use Bodog, But I felt it, that account. Bovada.
By the way, if you
is.
Open up, if you do open up a BetUS account, make sure you use my account number as a referral. They'll give me a little bonus.
Oh, it's they will.
581-588.
Very nice. I like that. And I like that hustle.
As a referral account number, and they'll give me a percentage of whatever you deposit.
Oh, really?
Beautiful.
Yeah. Do as a referral bonus. As a referral bonus.
They have just threw up an ID number like that. Yeah. But it's just only a bonus.
Just an account number.
Let me ask you a question.
They can't get into my
account. Do they have poker on that site, too?
I don't think they have. No, they have video poker.
Oh, no. Nobody likes video poker.
That's all
video
they have. I don't think they have live poker.
Right? Weren't you into playing blackjack online, being a sucker for a while?
Well, it's the biggest scam in the world. But yeah, I mean, it's just like a drug.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. It's like an opioid for me. I can't stay away from it.
It's online tramadol.
But you're still doing it?
I do it once in a while. Now, but here's the deal.
God.
If I'm going to do it.
But you liked money.
I do, but I like gambling more. If I play online blackjack, all right, I'll play for a dollar a hand.
Right.
If I'm just playing against the computer. Now, I have a live casino on this site where you actually see the cards and you see the dealer, right?
And you play that? You play that a lot more money?
Yeah, but you know what?
That sounds dicey.
The casino always wins. You know that. No, it's not shady.
I mean, that's how the game is set up. There's an edge for the house.
There's an edge for the house. Yeah. But there's a bigger edge for the house if you're playing it against the computer because they reshuffle the deck after every hand.
Buddy of mine was telling me the other day that, you know, he's a sucker for blackjack, but he feels like he has it figured out because his last few trips he's been so successful. And he says he just goes and he has something in mind like, I'm just going to win some golf clubs today. Like, this is his whole thing. he goes, so I'll just go. And then once I get up that number, I just leave. He says, so if it takes 20 minutes.
Well, that's smart. But what if you never get to that number?
Well,
what if you're down
like
golf
the last
clubs?
Three times, he's gone up there and he was like, yeah, I I've been 4K and then like 30 minutes.
Well,
the next day I went and I won another 4K. It was by Sunday, I was up 8K. You know?
Okay, well, he's lucky. If he keeps doing he's going to end up
losing.
He says,
normally I'll just play and if I go up, I keep playing and eventually I always give it back. Now I just, once I hit my little number that I want, I just leave.
I get it.
Yeah,
but much more often, it's what I saw at MGM National Harbor the last time I was there for the Cakes Classic, and I ran into Ralph Perkins and Kevin Farish.
Yeah.
And I watched them play blackjack each for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And combined, they probably lost, I don't know, $500, $550 bucks in a span of 10 minutes.
Yeah, just lit
just
on fire.
Gone.
Yeah.
Just off in the ether. Never to be gotten back.
Is you're really kind of budgeting for your win, right? And a lot of times people budget for their loss. Like they figure, all right, I got $1,000. I'm willing to lose that.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem with the winning budget is people get intoxicated.
They get too sized. It happened to Valdez the other day.
Well,
Valdez
is
telling a story.
With his ICPT. You were telling him cash out.
Yeah, I told Ron to cash out.
This is Matt Valdez.
And then it ends
up
the stock price going down.
The reason that stock plummeted the last couple of days, and I just read an article about it.
It was another story.
There was a story about negative earnings.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's bad.
That
hurt. Negative earnings, bad.
I haven't checked the pre-market on ICPT today, but yesterday it closed at 91.83.
Yeah. And would you buy it at 99?
Well, I've been month trading it.
He's back in my
world. I sold my most recent sell was for 126.
It's going to come back to haunt him.
Yeah.
I sold at 126, but then I bought back in at 99.
Well, you know who didn't sell was Rom. So he's losing.
He's down $1 million.
He's losing his arse.
He's down $1 million.
He's so dumb.
But that's what happens is people get intoxicated. Of course. They don't usually say, all right, I won $500 playing blackjack.
No one
I'm going
to
leave. They say, I want to now double this. And
of course. Nobody wants to go to a casino, sit down, and then hit their number in 10 minutes. And then be done.
Yeah. If you're smart,
the point is to hang out.
If you're smart, you just take a chunk of that money, put it up in your room so you don't lose it. But nobody does that.
Nobody does it.
Everybody stays at the table. Yeah. They get butt size.
And it also requires
running up to 5K or 10K.
They keep pulling money
and
out of their pockets.
Felt it.
And it also requires, as Jason said, you got to get up first, too, though.
Right.
And then the people that have big scores, like on a weekend, they start sending jets so that you fly to the casino again. Eventually, they're going to get that money.
Anybody
get it
that
back.
You know that's getting all that jet treatment, they all end up felt.
Didn't anybody see Casino when they told the big whales that the jet was malfunctioning, but we'll give you a suite so you can stay and gamble? He gave all the money back and then a couple million. That's
big gamblers
always
get
works.
Those. I used to get those brochures all the time because Rom used to use my card at the Borgata. Mm-hmm. And I would get all these things from Borgata. I'm like, why are they sending this to me? I was like, oh, that's right. He's using my player card.
Rom was running up his romps, as he likes to call them at the casino.
And so they would send offers.
His romps.
They would send these offers of flying me to the Borgata.
Of course they would. $40 rooms or $0 right. rooms.
When the casino's butt size to fly you out there, stay away.
Yeah.
Last night I was just getting a little feisty, and I was just hanging out, and I just played two hands of blackjack.
Just two? What's the point?
Because I won both of them.
You are like a crackhead.
No, I won both of them, right? So I played
two $1 hands?
No. This was against, this is the live dealer.
Yeah. So the stakes are raised there?
Min bet was $25. Yeah. I bet 40 on the first hand, won it.
Okay.
And I bet 50 on the second hand, won it.
Right.
So I won $90. I left.
And that's nice. Solid. And then what'd you do with your $90? Well, I bet it on college basketball. Navy.
I spread it around on college hoops. That's what I do.
It's a big financial shell.
So whenever you're a little low, you try to win one or two hands of blackjack to beef up the account.
Yeah. I mean, I got a couple grand in the account. I'm fine.
Right.
I'm not putting that much money on these games.
Pete Medhurst because Navy didn't deliver, right?
It's not his fault.
Yeah, it's not on Pete.
Apparently, it was the ref's fault. He gave them a flagrant one. So, but I was catching 4.5. So, Loyola was up by 5, 6, 7 most of the second half. I don't think I was going to win it.
It was kind of a grasper the whole way.
I thought so. Yeah. I don't even know if Navy ever had a lead in the second half.
It is funny though.
Did JA from Olney, by the way, going way back?
Mm-hmm.
Did JA from Olney ever have a winning month?
A winning month? Oh,
no
I remember
way.
Looking at
no
those reports.
I would have a few winning like sessions or maybe days, but no winning months. No. Zero.
Yeah,
that I can recall.
And what was.
That's why I don't dabble in blackjack anymore.
What was Jay from Olney's rock bottom? The reason why the 20 didn't become 25 or 30K in debt.
I think I just had an epiphany that said if I continue down this road, I'm on the road to financial ruin.
Where would you do it in the house? Like, explain to me what
in my office.
Your wife didn't know what was going on, so what did she think you were doing?
Did she think you were playing like fantasy football or something?
She wasn't even there.
She wasn't paying attention. Okay, was it during the day?
Because my wife works. Like, she has a job.
I understand that, but
so I was just being a degenerate.
But
I'm
guessing you did some at night.
It was mostly because I was very ashamed of what I was doing.
Right, so we go to lunch. This is like during the days we worked in Fairfax. We go to lunch at like Subway or Panera.
I would just huddle up in my office by myself like a big loser.
Mm-hmm.
And I would fire up the computer and spend thousands of dollars playing online blackjack.
It's unbelievable.
This is terrible.
Why didn't you just play poker and play at a smaller stake?
Because I got bitten by the blackjack bug. It bit me. Right there.
Right, but when you go to the casino, you never really rush out to play blackjack.
This guy has learned his lesson.
Yeah.
I have learned the lesson.
Right.
I can't win at blackjack.
What Jason's doing, Jason, you ever just go to, do they have a roulette wheel? Well, why don't you just bet, red or black or whatever?
Sucks.
Because same thing. You're just basically looking for a 50-50 shot to double up.
But I don't even believe it's 50-50. It's fixed.
I'm
telling you it's fixed.
I'm never going to forgive Drab.
I don't trust it.
For making me lose $120 at the Borgata. Hey, Cakes, come on. Let's go play roulette. It's an awesome game. And 15 minutes later, I'm down like $150. And I said, Drab, I'm never playing roulette ever again.
A reminder, later in the show, Mark Turgeon, head coach of the University of Maryland basketball team, joins us at 8:40. John Feinstein, 8. But next, it's Merrill Hodge as we talk NFL. And he's got a new league where the fans actually call the plays. We'll get into that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. We're the Junkies coming to you from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. You can watch us on NBC Sports Washington. We've got John Feinstein joining us at 8 o'clock. Mark Turgeon, head coach of the Terps at 8:40. And scheduled to join us shortly is Merrill Hodge, who used to be an analyst on ESPN covering the NFL. He's been very outspoken on CTE and many other topics. Oh, yeah. And I maybe misspoke when I called it a league, but he's involved with something called the YCF, Your Call Football, with Solomon Wilcots, and he's the head coach. And apparently fans can influence the action by calling plays in real time. So the only plays I could call would be plays from Madden.
Well, they probably, my guess is they give you.
Can we play a Z spot?
Well, that's my guess is they give you a menu of plays and you just pick the one, right. Pick the play. Which I guess could be fun.
So it's interactive, that being like, intriguing. I'm not really old school, but right, and who wants to be a millionaire when you do the 50-50 or you'd go to the crowd and then everybody enters in what they think the answer should be?
I guess.
And then they go to the percentage?
I guess. I just remember you could phone a friend. I just remember that part, right?
There were three lifelines.
Reach out to somebody smarter than you, hopefully.
You had your 50-50, you had your phone a friend, and I think the crowd.
Is that coming back? Yeah. Is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire coming back? Or is it
probably on right now. I see Let's Make a Deal is back.
Let's Make a Deal is back, right? I can't remember what that one was. Is that the one with the suitcases and you just...
Yes.
Or not, Let's Make a Deal?
Let's Make a Deal has definitely been on for a long time.
Yeah, no, Deal or No Deal.
Deal or No Deal is when you're talking about.
Let's Make a Deal is the one with Wayne Brady. Anyway. Tangent. We are joined by Merrill Hodge, former NFL analyst, head coach for Your Call Football. And Merrill, we were trying to figure it out. How exactly do the fans call the plays? Because the only plays I know are from Madden football. Like, how would it work?
It's actually, if you're familiar with Madden, and it's going to be easy for you to play our game because we do the exact same things, very similar. As soon as the ball is spotted, I, being an offensive coordinator, I put up what's called a bundle. So you have the three play options that you would have on Madden, you know, the diagrams and whether it's a run or a pass or stuff. So that's exactly what you get on the screen. And so you can vote on them. So it's very similar to Madden. You select the play you like, this play you think you want to run. And then the majority of the votes, that whatever play that ends up being is the actual play that we do run.
Hmm.
So as a coordinator,
if you've done Madden, you'll catch on real quick.
And so you guys have basically two teams, right?
Yes.
And it's you and Solomon Wilcots, but essentially you're coaches. But what are you coaching then? The fans are calling the plays.
Well, somebody's got to get them prepared.
That's
somebody's
true.
Got to put together all the plays. Somebody's got to put together the concepts, the different types of runs, the different types of run actions, and all of the plays. So actually, there's a lot of work to be done because at the end of the day, if you think about it, usually in a game, a coach always has, you know, that one play he wants to get to, or this play will really be good. We have to have three that we believe would work in every situation, you know, hoping that you can put your team in the best position because you don't control the ultimate play. So
how much time is there? Between plays, like, is there a clock?
Yeah, we got a 45-second clock, but the fans have 10 seconds to vote. Mm. So you got 10 seconds to vote, and really the technology is so fast, and this is what really has made the technology unique, is that you stream the game as you watch the game. There can be no delay, obviously, and obviously they've mastered that. So you got 10 seconds to vote. And then by the time it enters to me and I get it into the huddle, it takes a total of maybe 15 seconds. Hmm. And then we try to play fast. We try to get from the huddle to the line of scrimmage as fast as we can.
Well, Merrill, I'm curious. You know, you've always been very outspoken about CTE and the effects of football and everything. Where are you right now in terms of, like your support of the NFL, your support of football? Would you allow your kids to play, that sort of thing?
Well, my son started playing at age 7.
Is he still at BYU?
He's still at BYU. Okay. And I actually just wrote a book called Brainwashed that I just launched. And that book really explains the truth of CTE. I don't think there's a more disgusting, rotten narrative that has been created out of Boston University. I think what they have done is borderline criminal. The stuff that they have said they can't prove. They have no scientific evidence of it. And here's what I'll tell you. And this is what sparked me to write the book. I was just like any other parent or person who has seen a headline. I wanted to understand the truth of it. So I sat with every neuropathologist in this country that will sit with me, took me to Canada, and I'd all ask them the same thing. Like, explain what CTE is to me. Well, all of them would keep saying the same thing to me. They're like, Merrill,
it's a pattern that we've discovered, but we don't know what causes it. We don't know what causes it, and we don't know what it causes. We have cases in the medical journal where they never played sports, never had a history of head trauma, and they never had a concussion. I'm like, now, wait a minute. Well, then why do we only hear about it in sports? And they'd say, that's exactly why it's in an observation state. Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. And once I really discovered that aspect, let me just tell you this. And one thing parents need to, you know, parents that may be confused on the subject, and I get why they're confused, because the headline that you see in the paper are not the truth of what the scientific literature is saying, because there's no scientific literature that a concussion will cause CT. Subconcussion is not scientific, and there's no scientific literature of that. And if anybody ever comes on your show and starts talking like that, I challenge you guys to say, do me a favor, send us the scientific literature where all the steps of science have been executed, and that you can give us a scientific definition. You're going to find crickets. Mm-hmm. They won't be able to send it, and they won't be able to give you that information. And what parents need to know right now, sports are better and safer than they've ever been in the history of sports.
Yeah.
And the treatments and the protocols, the equipment and the instruction that applies to all sports has made our environment better and safer than we have ever had it. Yet we are pulling our kids out because they're scared to death because of the headlines that they're reading. So that's why I really wrote the book, is for parents to give them all the information. I've always felt the best way to make a good choice is have all the facts, and that would help you. I don't want to live in fear. I'd rather be educated and empowered in making choices. And so that's why I wrote the book. There's also a website, brainwashedbook.com, that we give you the scientific literature. I want you to read it. I'm not trying to sit there and tell you something that's not factual or true. We want you to read the papers. We want you to be informed about what the truth is. But sports really, if I gave you a time, if you have kids, an era that you could pick to play sports, if you didn't pick today,
yeah,
you're uninformed.
Is it true,
really uninformed.
Merrill, is it true, and I should know this, but I guess you talk about this in the book, is it true that you suffered a concussion when playing that sent you into cardiac arrest? Is that true?
Yeah, it ended my career. Now, see, here's what happens, and here's what people will
do. Tell me about that.
This is grotesque. To me, this is a grotesque ignorance when people go, oh, he ended his career and he's talking about it. Okay, they're two different things. What happened to me is improper care for head trauma.
Okay,
that's a completely different subject than the pattern, the scientific pattern of CT. It has nothing to do with it. Hmm. And what happened to me is something that I changed. That's why I went to Congress in 2008 and pleaded for them to get some type of protocol for all ages 8 to 18, because we're doing stuff in the NFL, the NHL, and the NCAA, but yet 99% of our athletes are 8 to 18,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing nothing there. Mm. And I'm on that same board that I was sitting there with Boston University. They didn't say anything about that. I've been doing that since 2003 when my son started playing, is implementing a protocol where we take care of somebody if they get a concussion, if they have a head trauma, that we do the right thing for them, and we don't let them go back to play until they are ready. And that's what happened to me. So if anybody goes, oh, I can't believe that he would be even talking like this, it ended his career, then you're grotesquely uninformed, because what happened to me was improper care, and that has to change, and we have changed that. And if you find it in any environment where it hasn't changed, if you're the parent, you're the gatekeeper. Make the change. Inform yourself of all the things that should be taking place today. And let's say your son or daughter have a head trauma, and it could happen slipping in a shower, which is the first time it ever happened to my son. Okay, he, as good athlete as he is, as long as he played football, his first concussion slips in a shower and hits his head on the shower.
Wow.
So it can happen in a variety of environments. But instead of being in fear that your son or daughter has just had a concussion, the treatments and the therapies that they do to repair the brain and help you get better before you return to play is like, I mean, that's the thing that should be soothing to every parent and empowering to every parent, and that they don't live in fear that if that happens to their son or daughter, that they're going to get some type of disease later in life. There's no scientific evidence that whatsoever.
Joined by Merrill Hodge, NFL analyst, head coach for Your Call Football, which lets fans influence the action on the field by calling plays in real time. You do that with Solomon Wilcott. You're the head coaches of the two teams, Power and Grit. Wanted to get your take on your former team, the Steelers. A lot of stuff swirling, really, in the last year with Bell, of course, sitting out the whole year. Antonio Brown wanting to be traded. Mike Tomlin, the way he deals with Ben Roethlisberger and leadership. What's kind of your take on what's going on there in Pittsburgh?
Well, there's a lot of things that, you know, you can't control. I always say this, the power, coach has all the power but no control. Once they walk inside the white lines of a football field or they leave your facility, players are, you know, pros, adults, and accountable. Here's how I look at, you know, Le'Veon Bell. I'll never understand his position. First of all, you know, I know his position was he's going to, you know, he'll be healthier because he's not playing and getting all banged up. We just lost probably one of the most important years in his prime that he did not play and he didn't get any reps. And I'm going to tell you this, that is not easy to take a year off and then come back and perform at a high level. It's not easy. I've never seen anybody do it effectively. So you lost $15 million, and there's nobody on this earth who will ever be able to give him that $15 million back. That's gone. Is he going to get paid whatever the rate is? Yeah. But he ain't going to get the extra $15 million. Mm-hmm. And when you have players quit on you, I wouldn't want him around my program. I wouldn't want him a part of my organization. And that's what Antonio Brown did. And he's done it for 2 years in a row, quite honestly. He's quit on him. You know, he's not accountable. Does he work hard? Is he a good kid? Absolutely. But he's a guy that you want on your team when things go bad? No. So, you know, those two guys moving on, as talented as they are. Listen, I didn't think James Conner did that bad. When you look at James Conner, he did just fine.
Yeah, he was good, really good.
They'll be fine. You don't win with people like that. You just don't win. You don't win a team sport when you have a selfish approach. So as talented as they are, as amazing as they are, never won a Super Bowl with them. You know, in fact, if you look at all the times when it mattered the most and they needed them the most, they never showed up. So that organization is strong from the top to the bottom. Losing those two guys is not easy, but they'll find people that will replace them, and they will be they'll be as competitive as ever next year.
Merrill really enjoyed it. It's Merrill Hodge. Check out the YCF and go out and get your book.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Merrill. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Yep. Take care, man.
Thanks, Merrill.
I think it's really important to hear that. It's sort of a counter to all the, you know, CTE, NFL football's bad. You know, this is a guy whose concussions essentially ended his career, and yet he still doesn't think necessarily that CTE, you know, is something that is directly related to playing football.
Yeah, look, concussions can come up playing sports, whether you're playing soccer, lacrosse, football, basketball, and there are ways to treat it. I've always felt like, look, if my kids want to play football, I guess I have two daughters, it's not going to happen, but with my son, if he wanted to play tackle football, I'd let him.
And if you have a concussion, you just make sure he's healed.
Right.
Before you send him back out there. And we all had concussions. I think he points to, like, I just was looking at a few pages from his book and some quotes from his book where they say a lot of these people have CTE, but they're not mentioning they also have other neurodegenerative diseases mm-hmm. that they're not talking about. So who knows what's really causing what.
Well, we're talking college hoops.
It doesn't help when you're banging your head against another player's helmet for 10 years.
It can't be great.
We are going to talk some college hoops coming up at 8:40. Mark Turgeon joins us, head coach at the University of Maryland. But next, it's John Feinstein, Fridays with Feinstein, right here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.